One sun rose on us today, kindled over our shores, peeking over the Smokies, greeting the faces of the Great Lakes, spreading a simple truth across the Great Plains, then charging across the Rockies. One light, waking up rooftops, under each one a story, told by our silent gestures moving across windows.
That's One Today, read by Cuban-American writer Richard Blanco at President Barack Obama's 2013 inauguration.
We head home through the gloss of rain or weight of snow or the plum blush of dusk, but always, always home, always under one sky, our sky, and always one moon, like a silent drum tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country, all of us facing the stars. Hope, a new constellation, waiting for us to map it, waiting for us to name it together.
As we enter a new chapter in U.S.-Cuba ties, we reached out to Richard Blanco for his reflections on this moment. Richard Blanco has family back in Cuba. He's also the first Latino and the first openly gay inaugural poet. And he says that this moment is like the reunion of twins who've been separated, those twins being the Cubans in Cuba and the Cubans in the United States.
I grew up with basically my entire side of my mother's family just through understanding them through letters, postcards, stories, old photos and whatnot. And I sort of have this, sort of feels like there is this piece of me that was missing. And along with that sort of a fascination of trying to understand what my life would have been like had my parents not left Cuba.
But do Cubans in Miami still see Cuba as a hard-nosed dictatorial regime that needs punishment?
What started off as sort of a really authentic sort of ideological, emotional stance has sort of dwindled because I think that after 50 years, you know, nobody can deny that some of what the embargo was meant to do or where that stance began has sort of evolved and changed. And so I think Miami and Miami Cubans have also evolved with those changes to some degree.
It seems to me that there's a lot of opportunity in normalization, you know, better relations, more open relations, certainly economic, cultural. We talked about baseball, which I'm a fan of. We get lots of Cuban baseball players. That's great. But, you know, there's a downside to normalization. What are your concerns for Havana, for Cuban culture, if they're going to open the doors to the United States? Sorry to use the cliche, but are we about to see the first, McDonald's on the promenade in Havana?
That's always the fear, the buzz phrase, right? The fear of having a McDonald's right on El Malecón. Well, I think it's a legitimate concern. I've always felt in thinking about one day, relations being reestablished or normalized, what I would like is that those changes, and hopefully changes that bring about greater freedoms for Cubans on the island, that those changes happen internally and are directed internally, and the idea that the new prosperity that may come along with this, that be controlled by Cubans. And by that, I don't necessarily mean the government, but that everyone sort of benefits from potential prosperity, mostly because what I don't want to happen is sort of Cuba to sort of be overly commercialized by foreign interests that then turn it into some sort of cliched, version of what foreign interests think Cuba should be like.
And turn it into Cancun is the fear.
Right. Things like that. And inevitably some parts of it will. And I think that's all right too. But to maintain a certain authenticity. But I trust and I believe that, if we look back in the 40s and 50s and we see that was part, if I read my history books right, that was part of what stimulated the revolution in the first place, this idea of that many of the businesses and industries were owned by foreign interests, mostly American. So we don't want to see that happen. We want that prosperity to be owned by the Cuban people. So sort of a new Cuba for the Cubans, by the Cubans, and from the Cubans is what I would love to see. And I trust, you know, given the Cuban character and what I've seen of the island and what I know of my Cuban family and my Cuban community in Miami, they're a pretty strong bunch. And I think they have a very strong sense of self and a very sort of incredible pride, ethnic and cultural pride. And I think they can pull it off. I think that Cuba will, of course, in some respects, be a little more homogenized. But in other respects, I think that they will be able to maintain a lot of their authenticity and certainly take the bull by the horns, so to speak.
I can't get beyond in my mind as you're speaking, Richard Blanco, those scenes from The Godfather 2. First of all, the captains of industry passing around the gold phone in the meeting with the president of Cuba pre-revolution, but then also Hyman Roth, the gangster, dividing up the cake that is Cuba and sharing it out with his gangster friends in the movie, literally dividing up the country for their own interests.
Yeah, and that's something, again, that I'm sort of hesitant about or cautious about, in that sense of we want the country to continue to own its own, so to speak, and not fall prey to those interests. So
what have you heard from your family members back in Cuba? How are they reacting?
Well, I can't pick up a phone and call Cuba. And this is one of the things that sort of what normalized relations would bring about, in that sense. You know, again, the emotional embargo is not as easy as picking up a phone. There's in my family, in the towns outside of Cienfuegos, there's one phone that's in my uncle's house. And so, you know, it's not like you can't just call. I've been trying to reach my mother in Miami, and I'm leaving for Miami on Saturday, so I can't wait to see what's going on down there. Many people, when they travel to Cuba the first time, one of the things they're most surprised about is how welcoming the Cuban people are, because there is this sort of image of this communist country that sort of, you know, is, you know, hates America or whatnot. But on an individual basis, again, they're most welcoming, most curious. And I think most of the Cuban people would welcome this on an individual basis as just a wonderful way to just make things easier in terms of communication, in terms of seeing each other. I mean, just the idea of being able to buy a plane ticket on Orbitz and being able to go for the weekend to Cuba to see my family would just be amazing.
Richard Blanco, I'm going to make a bet. I'm going to bet that there's a long line outside of your uncle's house to use that phone today.
Yeah. It's just really, really, really incredibly, wonderfully crazy right now for me.
Cuban-American poet Richard Blanco, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.